Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. I bet you didn't know I was going to say that. The podcast that you want on your side when the chips are down and the fries are flying. I don't even know what that means. Oh, well. This week on the show, The French Connection. A movie with some actual French in it. I don't know if they're French people, but it's the French language, and that's good enough for me. We'll learn more about it coming up as soon as the song's over. Oh, that wasn't too long to wait, so that's good. I like to jump right into things and make some progress. And I will make some progress by telling you that The French Connection is probably, surprisingly... Well, it's not probably. It is surprisingly a non-talkative movie. What do I mean by that? Well, I noticed about halfway through, I started to realize that in most modern movies, and I'm going to count that as relatively modern, it's 1970 or whatever. In most modern movies, there's a lot of dialogue, much of which doesn't need to be there. You get things like people saying things like, we need to tail somebody and make sure they don't spot us. You know, all right, yeah, okay, thanks, that's real impressive logic you got there, thanks for pointing that out. And this movie doesn't really have any of that. In fact, it probably goes a little too far in the other direction. There are whole scenes with almost no talking. They just show, it's almost like the scriptwriter just decided not to write dialogue. So there'll be, you know, and it's not silent, there is talking, but it'll be minimal, and they'll just have scenes where it's just like somebody following somebody around, or they're driving in their car, or they're, you know... And it was really surprising to me once I realized that, and it kind of carries on through the whole movie like that. There's just, again, it's not silent, but if you really pay attention, they're not really talking all that much. They don't talk to drive the plot forward or anything like that. Now, this is a cop movie. It's about the legendary French drug dealers. Nowadays, we don't really think too much about French drug dealers. I don't know if French drug dealers... were common in 1970, but that's what the movie's about. You've got heroin coming in from France, and the main guy who's the head of the heroin, thing. He's there. You know, he brings it in himself, or you know, with it's a little unusual that he would be coming in to personally supervise that, but whatever. He's bringing in heroin, and you've got two cops who are really kind of tired of busting nickel and dime guys, like a kid with a marijuana cigarette, a joint in his shoe or something like that. This is what they spend most of their time busting, and they're looking for a bigger score, if you want to call it that. And those two guys are Gene Hackman as Popeye Doyle, and his partner Roy Scheider, who I believe his name was Cloudy or something like that. Anyway, he's much less important. It's really Popeye Doyle's movie, and Gene Hackman as Popeye Doyle is he's a great actor. When Gene Hackman wants to be, he's a great actor. Roy Scheider is pretty much always a great actor, and so you've got some really good people in this film. It meanders a little bit, though, and I have to be upfront about this. There's no such thing as a movie with no plot holes. Okay, whatever you think, if you didn't spot any plot holes in a movie, you probably missed a plot hole, and that's a good movie. If you didn't catch them, if they're small and they're minor, whatever, that's fine. But this movie has some plot holes in it that are just, for an Academy Award winner and kind of a legendary film, which I thought I had seen, but as I watched it, I realized I hadn't. And I think what I actually did was read the Mad Magazine parody of it. Yeah, it's really not the same, turns out. But there are, there's one scene in there where they take a car apart, looking for something hidden inside it. And I mean, when I say they take it apart, I mean, they mutilate this car. They're going at it with like power chisels and saws, and they're just ripping, and they look like orangutans just tearing this thing apart. And then the guy shows up to pick up his car, and you know that there's going to be this scene where they've got the car it's completely annihilated because they just spent, you know, a day tearing it to pieces. And a cop, you know, kind of stalls the guy for a little while. The guy never even gets around to sitting down while he's waiting. And then they come out and they're like, yeah, we got your car here. It's right over here. And they show it to him and it's showroom new. And you're like, wait, that's impossible. There's no possible way that they could have put the car back together. If these guys were professional auto restoration specialists, they wouldn't have had the car together in a week, probably, with the damage that they were doing to it, taking it apart. So there's some things like that. Now, does that mean it's a bad movie? No, it's not a bad movie. It's a good movie in a lot of ways. There are a couple of really excellent scenes, in my opinion. And the first one is probably one that people maybe associate with the French Connection when they think of it. I know I did and do. And that is a scene where Popeye is chasing a train. He's in a car and he's chasing a guy on an elevated train and through New York. And let me tell you something, he stops pretty much for nothing. He is following this train and nothing is going to get in his way. And I mean, nothing is going to get in his way and keep him from catching it. And it's an exciting scene. It goes on for a long time. And, you know, you see a lot of chase scenes in different movies. And a lot of times they get really boring. It's car on car or whatever. For my money, maybe the greatest chase scene ever is in Raising Arizona, which is mostly a foot chase scene. But it's brilliant and funny and original and weird, and I love it, and it goes on for a long time. This one goes on for a long time. It's not as brilliant and funny and weird, but it is exciting, and it really grabs your attention, and it holds you, and it's just a great, great chase scene. So I don't want to recommend a movie on the strength of its chase scene, but it is a really good scene. And there's one other scene that I thought was very good in this, and it's almost farcical. It's almost funny. I mean, I laughed out loud watching it, and it involves Popeye trying to follow a guy who's getting on a train. This is not the same train, not the same guy, not the same, you know, it's a whole different thing, but different part of the movie. But he's tailing a guy. And the guy gets on the train, Popeye gets on the train, the guy thinks that Popeye may be following him, so he gets off the train. This thing plays out, you know, in reality, I've never seen a train sit in a station, you know, like a public transit, rapid transit train, sit in a station with the doors open for as long as this thing does. You know, that's unrealistic. But the on again, off again, and the trying to look nonchalant, I mean, it's beautifully done and it's beautifully filmed. And I was laughing out loud. I was LOLing when I saw this scene. So that was pretty cool. There's also some really nice bits in here where they show people following other people. And if it seems like there's a lot of tailing in this movie, like chasing and following and stuff, there is. So it's natural that I would talk about it. But there's bits. When I was a kid, I had the Hardy Boys Detective Handbook, and they had these diagrams in there. I remember I was like 10 years old. And, you know, it was like, you know, you've got three guys following one guy, and then the guy turns, and the guy who was right behind him goes straight, and then the other guy crosses the street and ends up behind him, and they do all this maneuvering to keep it from being obvious that the guy's being tailed. They do stuff like that in this movie, and it's kind of fascinating to watch because, you know, you see these guys and, you know, they kind of get spotted and then, you know, they move on. Another guy slides in behind them, and it's interesting to watch. Now, having said all of that and listed out the stuff that I liked about the movie, I have to say that it didn't really blow me away to the point that I thought it was going to. I was a little disappointed. I think that there are better police procedurals. I think there are better thrillers. I think there are better drug genre movies, you know, police versus the drug dealers. Maybe this was the first police versus drug dealer movie. Maybe that started the whole genre that carried up through the 70s and 80s and is still probably floating around today. But and maybe that's why it won the Academy Award. But really, I think that there's maybe better choices when you're picking out the best movie of the year, allegedly. And so my opinion of this one is this surprises me, but it's a rented, and it's probably actually kind of a low rented. It is entertaining, and it's worth seeing, but I wouldn't rush. There's other movies that I've reviewed here that are probably more worth your time to jump right in on. That's my review, and that's what I thought. Next week on the show, The Godfather. How cool is that? We get The Godfather, and then a few weeks from now, The Godfather Part 2, or Part 2. So, you know, how awesome must a movie be if it gets made and wins the Academy Award, and then its sequel also wins the Academy Award? You know it's got to be something special. I've actually seen The Godfather, but it's been a long, long time. And I did do more than just read the Mad Magazine parody of it. So I'm looking forward to checking this one out again. Until then, I am Pete Pollack. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, a production of the Big Noisy Bug Media Empire. Have a great week, everybody. See you soon.